As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
James Edwards III of The Athletic. I don't know about you. I do not have the energy today to do the traditional introduction. We're just going to jump right into it. It was my idea because I knew the Pistons had an off day today. I was like, why don't we just wait until after the Michigan State game? Because then we'll have even more to talk about and we'll be in great spirits. Talk about Sadiq's 50 ball. We're going to get to that, folks. But first we have to trudge through this a little bit here. Sorry, it's the 21st of March, year of our Lord.
I was like, what is happening? I thought this was part of the bit.
No, I can't do it, man. Can't do it today. I'm hurt. Like, I'm really upset. And I went into this game, and I was like, it's Duke. But, like, Duke's bad. But, like, so are we. But, like, it's Coach K. And then it's like, and I texted you, and I said, I was like, you know, if we win, it's like, then it just becomes annoying that Coach K has 1,199 career wins. Like, say whatever you want. Like, oh, no, I want to beat him. Like, that's just objectively annoying.
Yeah.
And then to end at, like, 98 tournament wins. So now he's at 99. So now I'm like, okay, well, I want him to beat, you know, whoever it is between Texas Tech and Notre Dame. Right. I want that to get to 100 and then lose in the Elite Eight. But in this moment, I was prepared to go full guns blazing. My joke to lead off the show was going to be, James, I'm going to plug your story for today for you. It's called Why Malik Hall is the Worst Basketball Player I've Ever Seen in My Life. But I'm not here to do that today because I'm just sad. Marcus Bingham and Gabe Brown deserve better. I'm hurt right now. I'm hurt.
Yeah, we were texting throughout the whole game. And listen, I picked State to beat Duke, not because I believed it, but because it's just what you do. It's just what you do, man. The rest of the bracket, nobody ever hits perfect. You're going to roll with your squad. And I felt like if anybody was going to end Coach K, it felt like Izzo would do it. So I picked State. I didn't believe it. This team, and I hate sounding like a homer and to be like, oh, this team's not
well,
very
with
good.
Well, you are. It's your alma mater. That's okay.
Yeah. But even just like saying, like, this team is not very good. And they gave arguably the most talented team in college basketball a real scare. And yeah, to be fair, Duke is one of the more talented teams. I don't necessarily like how they play. Like, I don't think Coach K runs the best stuff for this squad. But they are one of the most, if not the most talented team in college basketball, one of them. And State gave them a run for their money. It was a fun game. I believed for most of it that we would win the game. It didn't happen. It hurts. And I have a bunch of tweets that are going to the draft seller. Like, you guys don't understand the tweets I was going to get off. I have like three ready to go. Yeah. Now they'll never see the light of day.
The question now, I think, officially has to be asked, is this my fault? Because I, once again, inexplicably declared
why do you
that
do this?
Duke was free. To be fair, I said at the beginning of the game, I said the game was about 40% off. We had a good sale on it. Around halftime, we'd have a better idea of if the game was free or not. And my assessment was basically, without Paolo in that first half, Duke is drowning and we're fine. And it's about limiting him in the second half. And for a majority of it, they did.
Yeah.
State
just doesn't have enough shot makers. Duke's length was too much. State just doesn't have that I need a bucket guy.
We got into a little bit of a heated back and forth, though. I don't mean to. Don't worry. We are going to get to Piston stuff. I just, because it's topical. Also, congrats, Michigan fans. You guys aren't suffering. Congratulations. You're going to the Sweet 16, but we're not talking about that. I was reading a mock draft during halftime just because I was, like, you know, curious.
Yeah.
And I saw Hunter Dickinson was, like, falling out of the second round. And do you want to know what they put as his NBA comparison? And if it's not the biggest indictment on what's going to happen to him, then I don't know what is. Because I don't know. I didn't know you could compare a college player to this guy. No shot. You're not going to be able to guess. There's no way.
Do I know who he is?
You should know who he is. I think maybe the name will ring a bell, but you're going to be like, what? Ooh. Kevin Serafin.
It's so random.
And I was like, first of all, where did you even, if that's your comp, just say he's not going to the league at that point.
Yo, if, what, where was this mock from?
Oh, just one of those, like,
it wasn't NBA The Athletic, right?
Net. No, of course okay. not.
Yo,
you guys are more responsible.
Let me get this off. If you're sitting around and you watching Hunter Dickinson in the first, and you're sitting here doing your mock, and you're like, who does he remind me of? And you think of Kevin Serafin, get a life.
That's what I'm saying.
Get a life.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Like, Kevin Serafin should be so far down your head.
He shouldn't even, like, so here's why I have a good relationship with Kevin Serafin, is because he was the first NBA player to ever follow me on Twitter. And
what?
And at this point, he wasn't even in the league. You want to know how long ago this was? He followed me on Vine before he followed me on Twitter. That's how long ago it was. So if I could put everybody in a time machine, take you back to like 2013, Kevin Serafin's playing for the Wizards. Can't believe Sadiq Bey had 50 fucking points and we're talking about Kevin Serafin. But, and so I have a good relationship with him. But and then he went back home to France, I think, to play overseas. But
this is the most random fact about you of all time.
I saw, and then they put a comparison for Jaden Ivey, and I was like, huh. You know how people always do the Ja Morant thing, and it's like, why? Because they have the same hair.
Yeah.
What I'll say to that is, like, the explosiveness that he plays with.
See some. Yeah.
Jason Richardson was the comparison, and I was like, huh.
No.
No?
Two explosive athletes, to me, that's where it stops.
Sure. Okay. I want to get this take out. Last thing on March Madness. I meant to say this last week, like before the tournament actually started, but I'll have to say it now instead. My favorite part is the draft overreactions because of March Madness. And my most recent example, it came to me, and I was like, man, remember when that was a real thing for like a week that this happened? It tickled me, James.
What tickled you?
Jalen Suggs hits the that buzzer beater to go to the Natty last year. And for like a week, 2 weeks, the rhetoric was, is Jalen Suggs in the conversation for the number one pick in the draft? Because he hit a big fucking shot in the Final Four and was like the Final Four's most outstanding player. And it's like, it blew my mind. I just remember that. That was a real thing.
Yeah, but
that
I
happened.
Feel like he was in the conversation before the shot.
He was in the conversation. He I'm saying the, it was like a like dudes were putting him number one. And on this show, we literally were like, they're doing that to switch shit up. Like just
yeah,
to
we
be
talk
like,
about yeah, yeah, yeah. We how people need shit to talk about.
Exactly. And right. So they shuffle the deck and are like, ooh, is there a compelling case to be made about this thing? And it's like, actually there's not. Unless you're looking for page views, in which case, yes, then full send.
And speaking of Jalen Suggs, what team does Jalen Suggs play for?
Plays for the Orlando Magic.
And I'm going to see if you can connect the dots here.
So Jalen Suggs plays for the Orlando Magic. That's where Franz Wagner plays. He went to Michigan. Michigan is the school of Hunter Dickinson. Hunter Dickinson's comparison, Kevin Serafin. We're back to Kevin Serafin.
I know I know our listeners are...
What is going on? I'm confused. What
Sadiq Bey.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry, everyone. So Sadiq Bey had 51 points, a higher career point total and 9 rebounds. Higher career points total than Blake Griffin. Something to throw out there. And after the game, I just want to say this first. I gave you your props the night that it happened. I watched Isaiah's post-game availability, and I don't know, like, I've never seen just the team that excited for something to have happened. And the question that you asked, I thought was great. The thing that makes this as special as it was is because if you hear that somebody went out and put up 50, you're thinking of, I mean, because it's been happening ad nauseum recently, right? You had LeBron do it. You had Kat do it. You had
Kyrie
do it. Yep. And then Sadiq Bey. So it's like, it's like when Mo Williams put up 50. You're like, right. What? You know what I mean?
We were going to talk about that in a little bit.
It's just one of those random 50 balls that you're like, wow. But at the end of the day, how random really is it? Because if you took a poll at the beginning of the season and you're like, hey, someone's going to put up 50 this year, who's it going to be? Sadiq is top three. I don't know if you're going to, whatever order you want to do between Jeremy, Cade, and Sadiq, Sadiq is somewhere in there.
I had the preseason prediction that he would score 40 this year.
I forgot about that. Yeah. What was his career high before? I swear he hit 30, 40.
He had 34.
Is that what it was? Okay. Yeah. I also want to throw out, every time I almost don't watch a game, something extraordinary happens. And the last one was the Charlotte game when Kelly Olynyk hit the game winner. So if I'm ever on the fence, I need to be convinced that I need to watch the game. And, you know, some of these shots that he's putting up, the one obviously that sticks out is the one, the baseline look that he had falling away.
Right in front of me. Great. Our seats in Orlando are like some of the best. It was right in front of me. Crazy.
Right into the media well, and then immediately darts back out, gets the steal. Johnny Kane was like, oh, he can't do this. And he puts it up and scores 5 points in 7 seconds.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
More joy watching that or Blake's 50 ball against Philly?
Blake. Just because at the time I feel like we all kind of thought maybe a corner was being turned.
Something
we're like,
could
okay,
happen. This could be something. Yeah.
You know, we got out to a pretty decent start that year, and it's like if we're, you know, Blake had a full offseason to play with, you know, or to kind of in a training camp, and so it kind of felt like it was the start of something extraordinary. The argument is that this could very well be the exact same. Yeah. In terms of what was more impressive, Sadiq, and I don't think it's close because – down the stretch, I mean, how many bodies are they throwing at him? How many bodies are they throwing at Sadiq Bey? And I've seen some people throw out the whole, like, well, it was the Orlando Magic. Do you know how hard it is to score 50 points?
Right.
You know how
hard
it is to hit 10 threes?
I've had a lot of conversations with people the last few days, and a lot of them are like, this is the most random 50 ball ever. And I'm like, I get why you're saying that. Like, I get why you're saying that because you probably – I'm not saying that these people aren't basketball junkies because they are, but I could also understand like these people probably don't sit and watch the Pistons and don't know that Sadiq is usually once or twice a month has late 20s, an early 30 point game. Like this isn't. There's a reason I said he could get 40. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen him his rookie year hit 6 threes a couple times, 7 threes. All he needed was really like a 10-3 game, which we all didn't like. If you watch Sadiq Bey, and I've obviously watched every second of his career, like. I knew it was in the cards. You don't expect 50, but I'm not, like, shocked. And people were like, is this, like, the Mo Williams 50 or the Tony Delk 50 or the Corey Brewer 50?
It isn't.
I get what you're saying, but, like, Sadiq's 22.
Yeah.
And was first-team all-rookie.
Yep.
And is a, like, slinger. Like, this isn't – this is – I get what you're saying. Like, the name is random. But, like, this is – I mean, Sadiq, like I said, if you watch the Pistons, Sadiq having a good scoring night isn't out. Like, you almost expect it once a week.
I got a few texts from people sort of like in the – both in like the content creation world and in like your world. So, basically like my world and your world. I got some texts about it. And everybody – it was – you know what was funny? It was the same text every single time. It was just Sadiq Bey with an exclamation mark. It was the same text every single person that sent it. And I was just like, we know. Yeah, that's what he does.
So what do you think about this nickname? We obviously have Headband Deke. We have Deke. But after I asked him stuff about the Joker, which I was sitting on, as you know, told you about it on the pod, was it last week, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Sitting on that stuff for a special occasion. Thank you, Sadiq, for making it a very special occasion. Shout out to Blake Murphy for this. What do you think about this nickname? Sadiq Bane.
Yo.
I love that you're not on Twitter anymore because there's certain stuff that like pops up.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, you're like break. You're just yeah. telling me what like the
Colts, like you would have saw that day. You would have right saw that days ago. You would have quote tweeted. You're like, yes, I'm all in. Sadiq Bey wears a t-shirts. Etsy.
Yeah, no, you get my authentic reaction. I like that. But here's the thing: is we are. This is also the same podcast for longtime listeners of the Bun and Cardigan Show. This is in fact the same podcast.
The Chimney,
Mr. Chimney, or whatever the fuck we tried to call Isaiah Stewart, because we were like we refused to be on board with Beef Stew, so we were just like call him Mr. Chimney, and everybody was like that's. And I remember we were like that's hard, and then the reviews came in. The people were like that's the stupidest bullshit I've ever heard in my life.
Mr. Chimney, I forgot all about that. But so Sadiq Bane is hard, even though he likes the joke or not Bane.
Well, because
it's still
there's
hard.
there's real context to it,
and it's like clever.
Yeah, so I'm on board with it. I will leave it up to the audience, though. Sadiq I like Bane. It, but we'll see. In that same game, I want to bring up two things. One, not even a sneaky good game from Isaiah. It was just like a because Sadiq was the star of the show, we weren't talking about how good Isaiah was in that game.
He had a really good game.
Really, really good. But then just back on Sadiq, I don't remember if it was you or if it was somebody else that asked, but it was the importance of Dwayne Casey having the presence of mind to be like, hey, Sadiq might never be in this position again.
That was me. Yeah.
It was you. Even though he is, we obviously know that he's capable of this. It's like the odds are he probably won't be in a position like this again, if not for a really long time. So the importance of letting that 22-year-old go out there and like, yeah, dude, shoot your shit, even though we have the lead.
Right. And he never like gets time off. That's what I asked him. I was like, clearly, like, I was like, when as a coach do you decide to let a guy go for a milestone like that? Like, obviously, Sadiq is a guy that could use some rest. He hasn't missed a game since the DMPs his rookie year, but he hasn't missed a game due to injury since high school. Like, do you just – when do you make that call? And he said, why not? Just let him go for it. And he's like, win or lose, that's a special moment for that young man. And he talked about how Terrence Ross's 50 ball kind of changed him as a player.
Wow. That's a another nice, random. Another Terrence Ross 50 ball. I want to say this because I don't want to forget it. I think it was 2 weeks ago. It might have been last week that I said, like, I'm rooting for Isaiah Livers. I just don't have a take on him because I want to see him do actual stuff.
I wanted
stuff.
To bring that up. I'm glad you did. Yeah, is he now your favorite player?
It was the Miami game, right?
No, it was before. Wait, are you asking when he went off or are you asking when I
Yeah, when he went off because I gave him a – it was Miami. Yeah, he got Motan Noah best friend of the night for that game. I like him.
Yeah.
I'm on board. Isaiah Livers, big fan.
He's been balling. If you met him, you would love him. Nicest kid. Like, I always say everybody's nice. Livers is actually, like, the nicest kid in the world.
You do say that. I'm telling you,
it sounds crazy, but this team is – they need a dickhead.
Well, they just traded him to Sacramento for Marvin Bagley.
Touche.
Yeah.
Which one?
Well, Trey Lyles. Well, okay. To be fair, they both seem like very genuinely nice guys, but Trey Lyles just seems like a really solid dude. So, yeah, I just mean going off of like what the universe has told us about Josh. I'm not disparaging him at all.
I didn't know which one you're picking. I think you.
Yeah, I'm picking Josh Jackson.
All right, let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, it might get a little bit dicey. Yeah. I'm not trying to, you know.
No, I know.
What the hell are we talking about?
Livers.
Isaiah Livers, and how everybody's really nice on this basketball team.
Yeah, there was something you were about to get off.
You know what? I texted you about this morning. I have no idea if you thought on it at all. I had a little fun mental exercise that I wanted to do. I want to clarify. I am not saying I want to trade Sadiq Bey. I'm trying to quantify how good he has become. So now I ask the question to you, James. The best player, taking salaries out of it, that you think you could trade Sadiq Bey for one? Not trying to trade him.
This is going to sound crazy, but hear me out. Let me check this guy's stats just to make sure like I've been paying attention. Do you have your guy?
So I actually
hope it's not the guy that you said.
Yep, I was going to say, I will not say who I said earlier.
Tell them who you said.
I said Bam. And then James was correct in pulling me back. He was like, reel that one in because hell no. You're not getting one of the best and most mobile bigs in basketball for Sadiq Bey. And then I was like, I don't know. Is it Jimmy Butler? It's not Jimmy Butler. No. And then I was like, here's the thing. Before you give your answer, I don't think you could, I don't think you could trade him for anybody that would make you better than you already are. Is that a take?
If you're the Pistons or if you're
The Pistons.
I don't think their record would significantly change.
Yeah. Who do you think?
I'm going to get a lot of flack for this one, but I'm going to just say it. Through it. Given where they're at in this point in their careers, given not exactly the same skill sets, but similar skill sets.
Okay.
Given that this team could benefit to be a little bit younger, but still needs the type of performances that Sadiq Bey can provide. Klay Thompson. This version of Klay Thompson.
I love when you do the thing where you actually contextualize what you're about to say before you say it, because that's how you know that James is worried that he's going to get buried for saying something. When he like does the whole like, now hold on a second before I say this thing. So talk to us about how you arrived at that point.
Klay has been fine since coming back from the injury.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
He's had, I think he had a 38-point night. Wasn't a 51
ball. He's had good games.
He's had good games. Getting up there in age. I guess I'll just ask you this. Do you think the Warriors are much worse if Sadiq Bey is on the team and Klay Thompson is in Detroit? And I'm saying this version of Klay Thompson, not
right.
Klay Thompson right. of and it's the top, and it should have been top 75 player.
I'd say it is still relatively early because, you know, he didn't play for, you know, almost There's, 2 yes. years, and it's yep. still, you know.
Still very early.
In this time, in 2 months, this could be an absurd conversation to be having.
Probably will be. I wanted to throw that was the name I was like, if I want to say something crazy, but like also have well, it make, try to make sense of it.
Let's just dip it a little bit. Let's just go with like Andrew Wiggins.
That's who my, so that was my backup was Andrew Wiggins.
CJ McCollum.
Yeah, I'd rather have Sadiq, but yeah.
I would rather have Sadiq over all of these players. There are like two guys in this league who I would like pull the trigger on, and they're both playing in Boston. So, no. Although
you wouldn't trade Sadiq for Steph?
I mean, you know what I mean though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But here's the thing is if you trade Sadiq to Boston, do they not just then implode on themselves? Because he's a Celtic killer. It would be like if you traded Chris Middleton to the Celtics. Then what happens? Is he scoring points for the other team? Is he shooting on his own basket? What's going on there?
That's
I would say if we arrive on – I don't think you can get away with Klay. I think they're better with Klay. But for the sake of the mental exercise and the argument, what do you – I think we're going to go with Wiggins. You want to settle on him?
Yeah, and I wouldn't do that trade if I were Detroit, but yeah.
Agreed. I'm really curious to see what people think about this, like just this conversation in general.
Yeah.
What do you think about DeAndre Ayton? I think we lose that. But I think we're getting somewhere there.
And you're not like factoring in team need?
No. Take everything out of it. We're not talking money. We're not talking team comp. We're not talking anything. We're just talking player.
That's a tough. I would say Ayton. I don't think. I don't think that would happen. I would have a hard time justifying why. It's you're not like you're in the ballpark.
D'Angelo Russell, because he's not been bad.
You know I don't like D'Angelo Russell, but
neither do I. But Minnesota is playing some winning basketball.
They are
called Minnesota.
I haven't heard that. I like that one. Do I think Minnesota would do that? I think so.
Here's the thing about this Pistons team that we talk about it every week. You know, man, they play like a vegan restaurant. There are no steaks. They just go out there and they just play like nothing's going on. They
Is
got
that
no
you?
Fucking.
That's your bar?
You like that? They got nothing going on out there. I've had that in my notes for a week and a half.
That's good.
And I keep forgetting to make the joke. And they just go out there. Last week, I made the Middle Tennessee State comparison. I think I tried to compare Sadiq to Giddy Potts from Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, and then he went and dropped 51.
And then he gave me 50, and he was really talking his shit on those sidelines. He was every time he would go up and down the court, he was banging his chest. He was doing something. I'm not going to tell anybody what the standings are currently at, but I will tell you. But I will tell you.
It's a two-man race.
For the Motown Noah Best Friend of the Year, it's close. We got about, what, 10 games left now? 10, 11?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Boy, I cannot wait.
You going to take any more days off till the end of the year? You're just going to grind through it?
No, I'm grinding through it. I don't usually take days off during the season.
Can I tell you what I think is the worst shot in basketball? And Killian does, this is what he does, and I think there are like two players in the league who can pull it off, and everybody else is an idiot and shouldn't do it. There are three players who can pull this off. It's not the Reggie Jackson floater, where you're composed and you're in control of your body and your wrist and your everything. And his, because his is just always a fluid little thing in the lane, yeah. And I always love it. It's the one where you do the little flip, where you're putting your whole body into it, right? And that's the one that Killian does all the time. Off the top of my head, Luka, Darius Garland, Derrick Rose. You guys can pull it off. Everybody else, if you do it, I'm benching you. I hate it. Ish Smith can do it, too.
Shout out to Ish.
LaMelo can do it, too. I think a lot of, maybe more players than I'm thinking off the top of my head. Now that I'm really thinking about it, I think a lot of guys can do it. But originally, I was like Garland, Derrick Rose, Luka.
I'm not mad at that. I don't know where to go. Do you want to talk about Jeremy's 40 ball?
Yes. Very quickly, speaking of Luka, he was on JJ Redick's podcast and
shout out Sean Sweeney.
Close. All he did was mention the new coaching staff, which counts. He mentioned Jason Kidd by name, obviously, but that obviously does indirectly mean that Sean Sweeney was given props by Luka Doncic. So just something to chew on for our listeners of the Bunny Cardigan Show. Jeremy Grant had 40. I was a little bit in and out of that game just because I was watching tournament games because that just felt a little bit more important. But I was watching
then
it.
Pistons,
you know.
Cavs? Who are you?
Yeah, man. It's, you know, it's speaking of
Rookie of the Year on the line?
Well, on that note, so I texted you about this. Cade's actually, he was actually sick. That wasn't a bit.
No, he was actually sick. Like, watching him go through pregame in Orlando, just definitely looked out of it.
Hmm. And then came back and was a little rusty.
Yeah, I don't think he or Mobley, like, they both had, like, their moments in that, like, a moment in that game, but I don't think either one planted their flag for Rookie of the Year in that matchup.
Vintage Jeremy Grant, and by vintage, I mean, like, from like 365 days ago. I was like, there he is. That's Jeremy Grant. If we had back-to-back 50 balls, I don't know what I texted you and was like, what do I do? Like, what happens? Yeah. What do I do if this happens? I don't know what to do. Because at halftime, he had, what, 27, I think?
Yes. Which and then, Sadiq had 30 in the first half of his, right.
And then finished with just 40,
40
right?
Yeah.
40, yeah. So, yeah.
It's a little harder for him in that situation, given Sadiq and Cade played, in Sadiq's situation, neither one, Jeremy or Cade, were playing. It was Sadiq and Isaiah and the fellas.
Yeah.
So it's a little tougher, but, I mean, he was shooting the shit out of the three ball. I had asked him after the game, because I don't think I had asked him or anybody had really asked him about if there was lingering effects from the thumb surgery when he came back. Like, I didn't know if the reason he took a while to, like, rehab after the cast and stuff came off was to get right. And he said it's still like there's times when he messes with his grip and things like that. So, I mean, that's to be expected. He had thumb surgery. But, yeah, he looked really good. He's played a lot better since the All-Star break, trying to get guys involved too. Obviously, against Cleveland, he was in his bag, so he was a little more assertive trying to score the ball. But he's been pretty good post All-Star break. And kudos to him for changing his game up. And
yeah.
100%. And adjusting. I think I'm going to write something. I'm waiting for him to have like a six assist game until I write the story and like break down his improved playmaking. But it hasn't happened yet. Some of it's.
Yeah, you're right. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, some guys aren't making shots, but the Pistons have looked good, man. They're 7-7 since the win in Boston before the break.
Give him four more years, he'll get six assists like three times. There's no shot, man. And that's fine. That's just who he is. That's okay. The dude had 42-1 against Cleveland. It was 40 points, 2 boards, and 1 assist. That man's not hitting 6 assists more than a dozen times the rest of his career. No shot.
Yeah, he was getting a buck. I guess I didn't realize it was just 1 assist.
And that's cool, dude. Yeah. That's cool. If you're a bucket and that's all that you are, I begged Dwayne Casey to just let Josh Jackson be a bucket. Don't let him do anything else. Just let him be a bucket. I like those players. Except with Jeremy Grant, you're obviously also getting defense too, which is, of course, incredible. But, yeah, I mean, with the way he was playing in Cleveland, I'm assuming people don't care if he's as ball dominant as he is. It's because it's like if you're the hot hand, I would like to win a basketball game.
Yeah.
So it's fine. It would have been really funny if he put up 50 and people were like, he's ISOing too much. It would have been like, what do you guys want? Yeah, damned people. If you do, damned if you don't, yeah, I guess.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Been watching a lot of March Madness. Give me your top 7. you want the Pistons to draft in order.
So, in really, really good take from Matthew, who hasn't gotten a shout-out on the show in a little bit.
Shout-out to brother Matthew.
He was like, here's the thing. Here's why I know we're drafting Paulo. Because I can picture George Blaha saying his name. So then I was like, wow, that's a really good take. So then it became this, like, we were kind of going back and forth. I was like, here's the thing. I go, I can't imagine.
And I only said EO because he just beat Michigan State. Sorry.
And he looked good. That I love that jab so much.
Yeah, I'm not in love with him, but I don't know. I still need to figure out what my complete thoughts on Paulo in the next few weeks.
We got time. I said, I can't picture George saying Jabari Smith, but I can picture Johnny saying it. But you know who I can picture Greg, Johnny, George, even Mickey York saying? Is Jaden Ivey.
Ooh, so, that's where you're at right now? Is he your 2022 Mobley?
It is Jabari Smith still. Okay. Everyone, just so everybody is clear, Jabari Smith is still, I think, the guy who, if you don't take him number one, you're a fool. Especially because he's going to win a natty. I don't think I said that last week. I did pick off. Well, I couldn't have because we didn't. The selection Sunday hadn't. Yeah, it didn't happen. I did pick Auburn.
Okay. I picked Arizona. And
I had Auburn and Purdue in the natty. So it was basically my rationale was whoever wins is who you draft.
Okay. That's a very Nick approach. So I'm with it. I respect that.
But then I said, here's the thing about Jaden Ivey is even Purdue fans are like, don't draft him. Anybody who will listen, they're like, don't do it. Don't pick him. It's insane to me. And the thing is people, you know what they say, James? You know what the people are saying about Jaden Ivey? They're like, don't draft him because he can't shoot. Bullshit. Anybody who says don't draft a guy because he can't shoot, if you're a point guard, I think it's dumb and I don't think it matters. People said LaMelo couldn't shoot. Pistons fans were like, I don't want to win the lottery because LaMelo Ball can't fucking shoot the ball. LaMelo Ball is going to be one of the best point guards in the league in like 2 years. So that's fine with me because he does other things. Now, the thing that he does a lot that concerns me is he will just inexplicably turn the ball over at the drop of a hat.
You live and die with the LaMelo experience.
I don't want to be a wet blanket. I don't want to be one, but I need you to hold my hand for a second, okay? Uh-huh. So people have, I think, maybe come to know my philosophy about drafting too well and how it's a bad idea. Have I talked about this on the show? Surely at some point I have.
No, I don't know what that even means, drafting too well.
You don't want to draft too well. You gotta have some duds, okay?
Why?
Because then you fall into the Atlanta trap. Memphis is navigating it really well. New Orleans, we'll see.
Toronto was fine.
You got to pay everyone. So then it becomes the Pistons are drafting real well, and they're about to have, what, two more picks. Can I ask you a question about – we're going to get back to this in a second. I don't want to forget to ask this. Miami and Milwaukee both have their second-rounders forfeited this year. So do we just have 58 picks?
I believe that's how it works, yeah.
Wild. Just give them to Detroit. So we have the first and then the Brooklyn second. We got that.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, so then eventually you got to pay him. So then it becomes this game of, okay, if it's, oh, I'm in on Chet. I'm in. Lazarus Jackson, I know you're out there. I'm in on Chet. I know you're going to like to hear that. I'm over it. I'm over the whole, well, but if he doesn't put on weight. And the people in Pistons Reddit who are like, just draft him and put on 30 pounds. You're fucking right. I'm sure they haven't been trying to do that since middle school, dude. I'm sure that it hasn't occurred to anybody that maybe this guy shouldn't be 190 pounds at 7'1". Like, it's like...
Yeah, some guys just struggle to put on weight.
And I was like this with Marcus Bingham since he was a freshman. I was like, once that dude figures out how to use his body, it's going to be... Because he was kind of like a baby deer. Like, he was just all over the place.
He was like that blow-up thing you see on the like in front of like cell phone stores.
The inflatable tube man. The wacky arm inflatable. Yeah, one of those guys. Yeah, but he's
in front of Boost Mobile or something.
But now he's nice. And so just to get back to my point, because I keep going on these little things.
No, that's what we do.
The thing is eventually you got to start playing odd man out, okay? Mm-hmm. Cade's safe. Sadiq is safe. Whoever you get, Benedict Mathurin, just for the sake of it, is safe.
Is he, though? Why is he
surely
safe?
Because that's who we're going to draft, and you're not going to give up on him. I don't want to say who gave this take because I don't know if they want to be tied to it.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
But like, what if you draft him and he's not good? Why is he safe? You're just assuming he's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm just assuming he's going to be good. I'm assuming that our guy that we both like, you like him. I don't know why you like Benedict Mathurin. He's your guy. No,
he's
I forgot.
Not my guy
no,
in the
no.
draft.
James, I forgot. You convinced me. I forgot. I'm a Keegan Murray guy.
Yeah. It's not a good it hasn't been a good week for the Keegan Murray lovers. But in his defense,
well, he wasn't bad.
Yeah, Minnie McCaffrey was taking some dumb like I know he had a little streak there that brought him back, but he had some terrible shots. Like he was
well, the officials in that
wild.
Game were also garbage.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game. I watched that one from the hotel before Pistons Miami. One of
here's
those games,
what
I don't know.
Here's what I can say, and at the risk of contradicting myself and being exiled from the fan base, I think it's only fair to say that this draft class is free. Because 1-7, it's like, come on, I'm not mad no matter what. And you know what? The Pistons probably won't be able to fall lower than this. I don't actually know where they are in the standings right now.
Yeah, it's in my mailbag for tomorrow. I was going to ask you about this once you were done with your spiel. I see what you're saying, like 1-7 is free in terms of like you feel like you'll get a good player, but I would also say like outside of the three-ish guys, I don't know if like the potential for one of them being the second best player on a good team, on a really good team is very high. Like I think if you pick seventh, like you're happy you get Ben Mathurin, you're fine, you think he'll be an NBA player.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Verbatim, I was going to say 1-7, their floors are NBA players.
Fair.
And I'm straight.
Now my next question to you, and it's in my mailbag if you're listening to this today, Monday, March 21st. I have a mailbag, and somebody asked me, you can go check it out, I tweeted it out, it's on The Athletic, blah, blah, blah. Somebody asked me how confident that I am that the Pistons will finish with a bottom three record. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Not confident at all.
Keep talking. Let me look up their remaining schedule.
They have they're one game back in the win column of OKC. And I think that's all we all need to hear.
Okay, we are looking at Portland, Washington.
Winnable.
Atlanta.
And it's like whoever Detroit throws out there like for the last 3 weeks, it's like they have a shot to win. They're not going to sit Cade because he's trying to win Rookie of the Year. They're not going to sit Sadiq because he'll punch somebody in the face. They're not going to sit Isaiah. They want him to develop. Yep. They'll probably at some point sit Jeremy, sit Kelly, sit Kojo. But like if you have those three playing, like there's a chance that they win three more games, four more games.
I mean, you're also looking at
an OKC stinks with no Shea.
They're bad. You're looking at a Dallas team. Third to last game of the year, they're going to rest. Bucks and Sixers, the last two games of the year, they're just going to rest guys for the playoffs. So,
but I also don't know because, like in Dallas's case, like Dallas, Denver, and Minnesota are all separated by like a game and a half.
You're right.
And
you're right.
What's the East race like between like Philly? Like can Philly, Milwaukee alternate? Do you still have it up?
I just have the Pistons schedule that's up. How about what's the dialogue, the narrative around Miami being the one seed? Do people believe that? Because I said a few weeks ago that I do, but it's just surreal to me that like, oh, wow, are we really going to end the regular season and this Miami Heat team is going to be the one seed? It's just shocking to me.
They got a three-game lead on Sixers and Bucks. So, like, yeah, if you're a Pistons fan, they have, what, two more games with Philly?
Yes.
So, yeah, Philly and Milwaukee are currently tied for the 2-3 seed. So that's the difference in playing, right? I mean, we're not going based off the play-in stuff, but that's the difference in playing the Raptors, Nets, Hornets, Hawks, whatever.
Well, then that's good for us then.
I don't think they're gonna.
Well, what I'm saying is, if the race is that close, and their owners, their GMs, their coaches of whatever organization are like, no, we want to make sure that we have the best seat possible, then it's like, cool, they're gonna play their guys. Cool, we're gonna lose. Awesome, great, love it.
Right. No, I agree, but I'm saying yes. Yeah, I confused myself. Sorry, but you look at the Pistons' schedule, and based on how they're playing, I'm taking them over Portland at home. Mm-hmm. I'm taking them over the Wizards at home. I'm taking them maybe over Atlanta at home. So that gets you to 22 wins. Do you feel they have one more game with OKC, which I don't think they'll lose. Like, they would have to play the whole G League team to lose, and I don't think they'll go there.
I don't know, man. I did my homework on Chris Smith. I don't know, James. He's kind of nice.
I told you.
He's got that little left to right, that little whoop. And
the whole whoop. I'd look at the Pistons. I think there's a legit chance that they could win 3 to 4 more games. And yeah. I look at the Thunder, and I legit think there's a chance they maybe at most win one more game.
Here's the thing. We've said it 100 times. We're not getting number one again. But
you've said it.
But
I have an inkling that they will.
Stop. But
I think it's rigged, and it's the NBA is trying to bring back Detroit.
It is rigged, but that's what Cade was for.
I think they want Detroit to be back.
Hey, what if I sold?
I think that's the new theory. That's my new conspiracy theory. I haven't shared that
based
with people.
On what though? As evidenced by what?
It's been 50. It was 51 years before the Pistons got their number one pick. They were at their lowest, and all of a sudden, number one pick, Cade. They're in the position now, right now, to get another number one pick, and the Pistons might be back. They see how they know how the attendance is when the Pistons are good. The attendance has actually been pretty good this year, better than the last few years. That's just my conspiracy. I think the league wants the Pistons back.
Sure, I'll bite. So I think what we're trying to dig at here is prior to the 2010s, the Pistons had won a championship in each of the last three decades. The NBA saw that the 2010s went championshipless and said, oh, we have to right this ship. And then that's why in 2021, a year after the decade turns, they gave us Cade Cunningham.
I mean,
there you go.
Stay off the YouTube conspiracy theories, kids.
Are you fucking kidding me? No, Mr. Fucking Tin Hat, this was your bullshit. Are you joking? I jump on board with you and you call me a fucking an insane person? Hello?
I'm with you.
It doesn't sound like you're with me. I'm hearing you're with me, but the other stuff you're saying indicates that you're not with me.
Listen, I'm going to say it right now. No matter where the Pistons end up, third worst record, fourth worst record, fifth worst record,
what's happening?
They're not picking any. Is it lower or higher?
It's interchangeable. It depends on who you talk to.
They're going to pick one or two. Calling it right now.
Did we flip the dynamic here? Are you the fan?
No,
you don't mean this.
Remember I told you? I think you could go back and listen to the pod. Like a week out of last year's thing. Not to say that. Like, obviously, they had the best chance at number one pick, so I'm not like Nostradamus here or anything like that. I'm not Negrodamus. Shout out to Paul Mooney. R.I.P. He died, right?
Did he die recently? I'll Google this. I don't think he died.
I hope. Well, do I hope?
Jesus, just keep talking.
Yeah, sorry. I hope I didn't mistakenly R.I.P. somebody, but I'm pretty sure he did.
He did pass away, yes.
Okay. R.I.P. Paul Mooney, Negrodamus. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, I think you could go back and listen to it on a pod. I said I think they're going to get the number one pick. I just felt it. And I still feel it right now, because I think the league is conspiring to bring the Pistons back.
So here's what's going to happen.
Teals are coming back.
When we get... Ooh, you're right.
When
we get sixth, and I have to be the one that consoles you,
I'll be jumping for joy. That means I don't have to go to the draft.
Shut up, man.
Actually, I might go to New York.
I said this to you earlier. I meant to say this when we were talking about Michigan State, so I hate to backtrack it, but just on draft stuff in college. For those who are curious and are always like, man, James is always just this stone-faced, cold-hearted, objective facts reader with the Pistons, because it's not your job to be a fan, let me tell you something. Catch him watching a Michigan State basketball game. That man's
Michigan State or Tottenham, yeah.
That guy, which, by the way, contrary to the way our show ended last week.
And I hate college basketball, too.
That game is the most I have cared about anything that Michigan State has done in I don't know how long. More than the Michigan game last year. I think it might be the Iowa Big Ten Championship game, because the Alabama game we knew was a wash.
Yeah.
It might be the Duke game, the last one that we did. The Texas Tech game, actually, because I thought Texas Tech was free.
I thought it was free, too.
I liked it wasn't DeAndre Hunter. It was the Spider-Man meme guy. Jarrett Culver.
Yeah, Jarrett Culver, who's
I was
through it in Minnesota.
Yeah. I was on record saying it's not close. Jarrett Culver is way better than DeAndre Hunter. I was like, this isn't even a conversation. What are we talking about? Who else?
You can't get them all right, but let's lay out the things Nick has got right since we started this pod, because you've been on a heater. The guy that you championed for, I know you're a Cade guy still. You love Cade Cunningham. You love that he's on. What is that? I love he's on my basketball team.
And I wouldn't do it differently.
You wouldn't do it differently.
No.
But you pounded the table for Mobley, leader and rookie of the year right now.
Troy and I were aligned in that way. On the Mobley stuff, I mean, because it was between he and Cade.
Oh, okay. Quentin Grimes.
Yes.
Had some moments in New York. That was your guy.
Zaire Williams has had some flashes. We were right.
And
about
I was going to say Zaire was my guy, but I'll share him with you because I convinced you.
It's like Mathurin. I was in on Zaire Williams because you convinced me to be. Yes.
Yeah, and he's had some moments this year. Mm-hmm. So you can't hit them all, and you've been hot in these streets a little bit.
Yeah, I suppose. How many players from that Virginia National Championship team could you name? I can name three off the top of my head.
Kyle Guy.
Oh, wow. Off the rip, you remembered. Wow.
Yeah, because I should be playing over him in the NBA.
would Virginia have won a natty if you took Kyle Guy's spot? Is that what you're saying?
Facts. 100% facts. I'm not even joking. Okay. Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter.
There's one more. I can tell you who he plays for.
Yeah, tell me.
He plays for Oklahoma City, so I don't really think that's that helpful.
Ty Jerome.
Was no shot.
No, where'd Ty Jerome go?
I don't remember where Ty Jerome went. It's Mamadi Diakite.
Oh, yeah, Diakite. Yeah, Diakite. Yeah. Where did
nice.
Ty Jerome go?
This is a great little bun and cardigan.
This is a good ending.
Yeah. I'm blowing this. I don't remember.
Thank you for loving there. Thank
oh,
for
Jesus. Come on, James. All right.
I got to look up where Ty Jerome went. It's going to bother me.
That is, I'm going to say it's not Kentucky, right? He didn't go to Kentucky. He's not. No, I'm thinking of Trey Lyles. I'm thinking of Jerome Allen. He went to Kentucky.
Jerome did go to Virginia.
No shot.
Yeah. No. But he might not have been. Yeah, it was Ty Jerome.
Where did Dwayne Casey go to school?
Kentucky.
Nice. Where did Stan Van Gundy go to school?
Wasn't it called like Nazareth or something? His Jeff went there.
Did Mo Cheeks?
I think John Beilein. So John, whatever school that Jeff Van Gundy went to, John Beilein said that he recruited Jeff Van Gundy there. Like, I think that he was like his last recruit.
How old
random.
Is John Beilein?
He's getting old.
He's got to be in his 90s if
nice
he was recruiting.
Nice guy, though. I'm a fan. Did I tell you that I'm a fan of Beilein?
Nice guy. I'm not listening to this until you say someone was mean. Someone who's not here anymore, last regime, who was not a nice person. Can be a assistant, could be a trainer. You're not going to do that. I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, I would do it if fair. I could. I'll remind me next pod, and I'll think of someone.
I'll just text you in 5 minutes, and you'll be like, this guy sucked. Do you have any story time with James impromptu? Do you have any Mike Abdenauer stories?
Yeah, I told the...
You told one.
Did I tell the Kobe one? That the one
yes.
I told? Yeah.
Yes.
No, other than that, no.
Hmm. Okay.
Was there one from the road?
I don't know.
Oh, there was one from the road. So after the Magic game, I'll give you three guesses to guess who the player is, and if you don't guess, I'm not going to say who it was because I don't want to put his business out there.
Until we're off the air.
Yeah. So after the Magic game, Omari and I hit these streets. St. Paddy's Day. Went and got some drinks. Got some food. We saw one Pistons player in the streets. Can you guess who it is? And it was not the man who just had 51 and should have been walking around Orlando like fucking Mickey Mouse, but it was not him.
I know it was not Kelly Olynyk. Well, here's the thing. It was definitely Kelly Olynyk, wasn't it?
I don't know. I can't. I'm not going to put a guy's business out there.
Gotcha.
But there was one player, and you would have been he wasn't like doing nothing crazy. He was just walking with some friends, but it was just random.
Sadiq Bey seems like the dude who would just hammer beers.
See, he doesn't, though.
No shot.
I was trying to, dude, again, the night he scores 51, the first thing he comes to the presser, it says, this guy. He starts pointing at my shoes and starts doing the whole swag thing again. After he scored 51, I'm like, Sadiq,
that's
stop.
Your boy. That's your
I'm
boy.
Like, I was like, you better be in these streets tonight.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't go in, to my knowledge, he doesn't go in the streets. And he had, like, that's the night to go in the streets.
He was lights out at 10 o'clock, read a chapter of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, and he was out. He went back to the hotel. You had to take a United flight. Oh, that's right. We ended last week's show by me bringing up United, and you thought I was talking about when Ronaldo cooked you, and then you got really angry with me.
Yeah, and you were talking about your actual
I was legitimately just talking about the airline, and you were like, fuck you. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. We'll get off the show. I thought you were just upset with me talking about airlines again.
No.
Okay.
Oh, all right. One more funny story from the road. It's not that funny. Post-game presser's over. Isaiah Livers, 16 points, career high.
Mm-hmm.
First thing he says when he gets off the podium, we're in Miami, mind you. He's like, yo, is it still raining outside? We just all looked at each other like, my man just scored a career high. He's in Miami. He's about to go get his shit off.
Yeah.
It was just funny. Yeah. Like, we were like, no, it's not raining.
You're like, I've been in here the whole time. Been as long as you've been in here, I've been in here, dude.
Right.
I have no idea.
Right.
I have no idea. All right.
But he just like, he admitted that he was about to be in these streets. Yo, is it raining out?
We got a lot of kids on the team in a good way.
Yeah.
A lot of fun havers.
The thing is, I don't think so.
Here's the thing. It sounds like all the guys who need to not be going out and fucking it up aren't.
Yeah, I think like they go out, but I don't think it's like, I'll just say this, as somebody who used to routinely see players out in the streets when I was on the road, and by streets I mean like we're in New Orleans, I run into Christian Wood, where mm-hmm. I stop at a bar, I see this player, like, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I hate when the people are like,
no,
why is he out getting a drink at 11 p.m. he's got practice in the morning. Shut the hell up. These guys live their lives, whatever. This team, that was the first person I had randomly seen out from this group of characters. That was the very first. And to be fair, this is the first year that, obviously due to COVID, that we traveled. But I usually, up until this point, I would usually have seen somebody.
Yeah. Wow. Who do you think would be the most likely to bump into in like a hookah lounge? I would say that's probably.
That's a great question.
It's got to be like
hookah lounge.
Corey Joseph or Kelly Olynyk. I think it's Kelly Olynyk.
Kelly wouldn't be in a hookah lounge, I don't
think. You don't think so?
Nah, you catch him at like a dive bar.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, he's got the vibes of like a flannel and a backwards hat.
He always wears a backwards hat.
Yeah,
doesn't take
it
off. He's my...
Yeah. Killian, because he's European? Well, he's not European, but...
He's European.
Well, he's from fucking Florida.
He was born there, but like he talks... He speaks... Like he has an accent. It's French.
Gotcha. Okay.
I could see Killian at a hookah lounge.
Servetus, probably.
Is he even still with the Cruz?
Yes.
I haven't seen his name in a while.
Yeah, last week it was shout out Davidas Servetus, and I was like, you don't mean that. And this week it's, where the fuck is Davidas? Is he even in the league anymore?
I don't remember it. I've been busy with Piston stuff.
Point served. Alrighty, James, let's get out of here. Good show today.
This was fun.
You have a mailbag out. Everybody can go check that out.
Yep.
What story did I read that was cracked? What did I text you about? And was like, this is my... Oh, dude, the fucking Q&A with Marvin Bagley was sick. He was great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, he was.
It was... He's just... Because those take, what, 10 minutes to do?
Yeah, if we sit down with him, I usually get like 10 minutes. Yeah, we did it on our birthdays. We share a birthday, me and Marvin.
Yes, you do.
We both had fun in Miami. Not
sealed
together.
Signed. Alrighty, James. He's 23.
I had a time in Miami. You didn't see I rocked the Livingston jersey out in Miami.
I did see it.
Did I send it to you or did I post on Instagram?
I don't remember which one, but I saw it. It was hard.
I had to go to, like, I was in bed by 11:30. We started at when practice ended. at 4. I was like, I had the spins at 9:30 going into a taco spot. Shout out to Rod and Omari.
Oh, they take care of you. And Josh Scher.
Josh Scher, he came out and joined drinks, got drinks with us.
Happy belated to our guy, Jordan Brink.
Yes, happy belated. His birthday was Friday. Shout out to Jordan Brink. That's my guy.
If you made it this far, thank you very, very much for listening. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe if you're feeling
generous.
Happy
belated to Austin Drake, too, friend of the show.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize it was his birthday.
His birthday was right before mine. I don't think we shouted him out last
time. Nice. Happy belated to Austin Drake as well. We will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.